You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Over the weekend, the Eagles are in the Elite Eight, if we were to use an NCAA tournament term. Let's get to the Gotta During Window winner to the weekend. There was a lot going on, obviously, beyond just the Eagles. Gotta During Window, take advantage of Gotta During Window's big winter sale through the month of January. Receive 40% off all windows and doors. Call 1-877-GO-GUIDA or visit goguida.com. All right, let's start NFL playoffs. Again, we'll just broaden this out a little bit beyond the Eagles just for a moment, and then right back to the Birds talk. So NFL playoffs. John, Baltimore and Buffalo looked the best. Baltimore looked the best I mean, they looked... Now I understand why their odds were as high as they were. Holy... I mean, that was the most non-competitive 14-point game I think I've ever seen.
Steelers were uninterested in playing.
It was incredible. So I don't know if you saw this stat. I only saw a report at one time. But it was the third biggest differential in NFL history of postseason rushing yards.
Wow.
They rushed for like 250 more yards than the Steelers. Something like that.
Lamar.
270 or something.
Lamar is having just sort of another Lamar renaissance.
My God.
It seems like his game evolves and the team goes as he goes.
Yeah.
And so right now, man, they're operating at 100% efficiency because he is locked
what
in.
What a second round showdown. Holy mackerel. Baltimore.
Yeah. Wow.
And yeah. And Buffalo? Are you kidding? And Kansas City gets a tremendous advantage.
You're rubbing your hands like, thank you.
That is wild. Woo. James, did you find most of the playoff games on the boring side, more boring than usual?
Other than last night.
Yeah.
Like, last night was a great game, and other than that, it was rough.
It was pretty rough.
Yeah, like, honestly, it was hard to get into them.
Yeah. Rhea, what stood out to you the other games?
When I'm watching the, what was it, the Texans and the and the Chargers game, it was like, what, like 10-3 at the half? Or, I mean, it was super close. And then I went, I'm tired of hearing what a great young quarterback Justin Herbert is.
Yeah, he was brutal.
Because in two playoff games that I've watched,
I know,
he's fallen apart.
I mean, that was one of the worst played playoff games I've seen in a long time by a player.
It was like every time
he
turned around,
horrible.
interception.
Yeah,
you know,
he was horrible.
And the kicker, Cameron
which
Dicker.
Game? Oh, I know.
Not knowing the rules.
What
I mean, man.
What was he thinking?
James, did he say he didn't know the rules? I wondered that.
I mean, he didn't move. I mean, he
either
had
that
to
or,
not.
Either
yeah.
that or he was afraid.
One or the other.
One or the other.
More likely he didn't know the rules, I would think. Because I mean, it wasn't even like a thought. Like, there was no like movement, you know?
You have one
he got
job.
Clobbered anyway.
It's to know the rules as the kicker on special teams.
Incredible. All right, let's get to the Sixers arena. So, obviously, the whole weekend of playoffs on the table. We'll talk about it through the show. Sixers Arena, I'm sure most people saw the news. If you didn't, we'll just tell you. And by the way, talk about an all-time news dump, an hour before the game. And the weird thing is, this is, I think, a good development, but there's also sort of an annoying element of this. So bottom line is the Sixers are not going to have an arena, you know, in Center City. There's going to be a South Philadelphia arena. The Sixers and the Flyers and Comcast Spectacor, they all partner up. And with this, we'll get a new arena in the early 2030s. The Wells Fargo Center will be no more. Do we know yet where? Is it in the parking lot, like in between
imagine.
The Wells Fargo and Xfinity Live? Like, is it in there somewhere?
They're going to remove a lot of that parking, I believe.
Say that again, Ray?
They're going to remove a lot of that parking.
Well, initially, they have to.
Well,
I mean, you have to build.
That's where our tailgate is.
No,
so
I know you have
know.
To build. The same thing they dealt with 20 years ago. You have to build an arena while another arena exists, and then you have to tear the first arena down to create more parking. So, let me ask you this question. Couple thoughts fired through my mind. I'm curious which of these, I'm going to give you three choices. Which of these hits you the most, James? One, this is a great development. And of course, that's if you wanted it to stay in South Philadelphia. Two, the Sixers are annoying that the whole thing might have been a ruse to, you know, have a leverage play the whole time. Or three, credit to the Sixers for being good negotiators. They backed Comcast down in a way where they had the leverage because of Center City and the mayor and city council, and they were just a better player at the poker table.
All of the above, Joe. I do. I really do. I think all of the above. I really do. I think that they knew that. I think they would have loved if it could have happened, but I think they knew the whole time that it was outstanding leverage for them, that it was a win-win for the Sixers.
Which one hits you
night.
The most of those three,
the case,
John?
Because that bothers me a lot. Doesn't that seem wasteful? If that was all much ado about nothing for leverage and some negotiation otherwise, like, hey, well, give us more money when we build it over here.
Well, here's what I'll say. I'm not a Sixer. Like, you guys know how frustrated I get with the Sixers.
The lobbying and everything else that went into all of that,
right.
Doesn't that feel wasteful? You know, I don't know the details on it, but man, I thought for sure this is the direction that things are headed. Like,
you can't just back
out of this, can you?
Well, I will say this,
I was shocked.
To the Sixers' credit and in their defense, Comcast in the end put a deal on the table that they previously, it sounds like, weren't putting on the table. So, you know, Comcast didn't want to tear down the Wells Fargo Center. And now it's going to come down.
The crazy thing is that Goodell was involved in it. That's what
very bizarre.
Silver and Goodell getting involved.
I mean,
I get
Silver being involved, but I wonder, like, how much the mayor and the city knew about you said all a ruse or just for negotiating.
I know.
Because I don't think it makes them look very good.
No, it doesn't.
You know,
it makes them look really bad, actually.
Because what you put, you know, the Chinatown through, all the people in that area who are freaking out.
I know.
You know, that's not good. That's not good for your constituents.
I agree 1,000,000%. Here's another element to the whole thing that is incredible. For all the time we as a show spent talking about it, the station spent talking about it, the whole city spent talking about it, I never heard one person float this possibility. And if we had thought it through to the nth degree,
it made the most sense.
We could have gotten
there. Yeah, for sure.
That by having the Center City thing finally right in front of them, maybe the Flyers and Comcast would fold. And it sounds like that's what happened. They folded. And it's incredible that none of us thought of that possibility.
But again, all of the emotional, like the anguish.
They put a lot of people through a lot of stuff.
Not only was it wasteful, I don't know what they put into all of those lobbying efforts and everything else trying to convince people it was a good idea.
Yeah.
But man, no one who lived in that vicinity thought it was a good idea. And everyone was very upset.
I know.
I mean, all of that could have been prevented. It could have been saved. Like, really, was this just a leverage ploy? And if so, it feels like you took advantage of a lot of people and a lot of goodwill.
I agree with that. All right, one more thing from the weekend. Jeff Hoffman left the Phillies. He went to the Blue Jays. We knew it was very likely he'd be gone. It's a bummer because he was really good. I know the postseason was a fiasco from him, but I mean, he was one of their five or six best players last year.
So. And 2 years in a row, he was awesome.
I know.
Yeah.
So, you know.
He's a freaking all-star, man.
Not the easiest guy to replace.
Yeah, no doubt. No, it's a loss, without a
doubt.
It
is a loss. It is. All right, 215-592-9494. How it sounded here on WIP with the game yesterday. Merrill and Mike, the calls. The Merrill montage, we'll get to that shortly. Also, the Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. In 2025, Armin Chevrolet is proudly celebrating 25 years of serving the automotive needs of the Delaware Valley. Together, let's drive. ArminChevy.com. Poll question, and one that I certainly expect the Rams to win the poll question. But we'll ask you this question. Who would you rather see the Eagles play, the Rams or the Vikings? That game is tonight. Winner plays the Eagles. Who would you rather see the Eagles play, the Rams or the Vikings? Let's get to Dan in Philadelphia. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. How is everybody today?
Doing great, Dan. How about you?
Good. I agree with Jimmy. It's all of the above to those answers. But, John, the good thing is that they're still going to do that Market Street development. So for all the people, they won't be displaced, but they are going to put money into that area now.
Here's what will be interesting to know, Dan.
That is a positive.
Yeah, no, here's what's interesting, though. But Dan, how much? Like, who knows? We'll see. Do they go all the way? Or is it like... we throw some money in. I don't know.
I think there is a set amount. I thought I read that it was pretty significant.
Okay.
So,
well, that's wonderful.
That would be good.
That's great. So it's a win-win-win-win all the way around.
That's good.
And then, I'm worried about Hurts, man. He just didn't look good at all yesterday. And I'm usually not the guy that, like, bashes a quarterback, but I didn't feel confident. I mean, I don't think we would have won that game without the defense if we're going to be honest.
Don't
be worried, Dan.
All right, Dan, let me say
don't
this.
Don't be worried, John.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very worried.
It was almost like he wasn't there. Like, I'm not the typical Philadelphia, put the backup quarterback in. But, man, I'm like, I think we would have had 28 points going into halftime if Tanner McKee or Pickett was the quarterback.
Dan, here's where I'm going to go with it. And this is one of those ones where people might hold it against me forever. But I'll say what I believe. And you may agree, you may disagree. If the Eagles win the Super Bowl, and they certainly might, I think Jalen Hurts is a lot closer to Trent Dilfer than Patrick Mahomes.
That's a little much.
I believe it. I think he's closer to Dilfer than Mahomes.
I just don't know where he was yesterday.
This is ridiculous. Like, no, you know what? You should be ashamed.
No, I mean, I'm just giving you my honest comment.
Because your clueless comment? Did you say clueless comment?
No, I said honest comment. Dan, am I right or am I wrong?
I think you're wrong. I just don't know where the Hurts that we know was yesterday. Like, not even 50% of him was there yesterday. Like, he's a way better player than what he showed yesterday.
Well, he is better than that. He is. But one of my concerns is he's just not what he was 2 years ago.
He probably will never be again. He was not. He didn't get into rhythm yesterday. I do think he could have been helped to get into rhythm with some of the play calls early, but it felt like a slog. And some of that was the Green Bay Packers, they made it hard. They disguised things, and they wanted to stop the run. They would load up. They would deceive. They would back off. You know, there was a lot of jockeying pre-snap that made it very difficult for Jalen to know where to go with the football. I don't think that would change regardless of who was under center. That is playoff defense. It's hard to decode. Everyone talks about this. Like, why?
Well, it's not hard for Lamar and Josh Allen.
Sure.
And those guys have less around them.
They did a good job against lesser defenses that didn't really challenge them the same way because they got broken down.
Yeah.
I mean, those defenses had no chance. The Packers defense did a nice job. And Jalen needed to do better with his reading things out faster. Being more decisive with the football. And I saw him miss on a couple throws, you know, and it was uncharacteristic, I thought. Seeing a ball way behind Dallas Goedert, Dallas turns it around into a touchdown, you know, that was not what I expected. But, hey, it netted a touchdown. You know, like, what am I complaining about? So I'm not. We won the game. The other quarterbacks out there, Russell Wilson and, you know, Bo Nix and Justin Herbert.
Those guys struggled.
Everyone's going home.
Yeah. No, those guys struggled a lot. All right. Let's listen to how it sounded. Obviously, Maryland Mike on the call was a playoff victory. Let's see. For Sirianni and Hurts, let me add this up. That is three. Three playoff victories for these guys. So congrats. Andy got to 10. Donovan was part of 9 of those 10. Jeff Garcia won 1. So three playoff wins now for Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts together. This era, if you will, since the change from Doug to Nick. Let's listen to how it sounded. We're gonna need a montage.
Ooh, it takes a montage. Elliott hits it. It is high. And Nixon takes it at the goal line. He's out to the 5, 15, 20. And he does not reach the 30. He is hit hard.
Ball came out.
The Eagles having a turnover on the very first play of the game. How about that play to start the game? Up the middle he goes. He's at the 25, 20. Down to the 13 goes Saquon Barkley. What a start for this football team. Hurts. Flops. He's looking. He's rolling. He's still looking. And he is firing for the end zone. Touchdown! Wide open. Johan Dotson. Low. He looks, going deep down the far side of the field, and it
Slay
is
took
incomplete,
it.
And Slay it is Slay.
Took it.
Slay.
Big play, Slay takes it away.
Back goes Love, he's looking, he has time, he fires, and it's intercepted by Bourne. Bourne at midfield, Bourne runs out of bounds at the 45, Zach Bourne, first team All-Pro. Hurts, fires, complete, wide open, Smith, 40. 35. That's more like it.
Yeah,
Hurts
there it is.
Rolling left and firing to Devontae Smith for a big pickup right there of 28 yards. He is going to throw. He does in the flat. The nice catch by Goddard, who breaks the tackle across the 5. Touchdown, Goddard.
Beast. He beasted him. He catches a simple flare pattern out into the flat, Merrill, and the cornerback is there, and he just beast modes him, pushes him in the face, not once, twice, and into the end zone.
Love that. He is going deep downfield, and it is intercepted! Intercepted! The first interception of Quinyon Mitchell's career.
How about that? It's the fourth takeaway by this defense on the night.
Hurts gets it to Barkley, and Barkley plows forward, and there's 100 yards. Again, it goes to Barkley, and again he breaks. He's at the 40, and he falls down. He could have taken that home. He was out in front of the world. He could have taken that to the distance,
yes.
But he said, I will do the gentlemanly thing. I will fall down and run out the clock. It wasn't the best game the Eagles ever played, but it was a very solid win.
All right, and that's the Merrill montage. Obviously, how it sounded yesterday here on WIP as the Eagles get a victory in advance to face either Minnesota or the Rams. I don't know if it was the gentlemanly thing. It was more about just, you know, let's end the game, not have anyone get injured, not score a touchdown, and have the defense go back out there. He could have ran for about 60 more yards and then slid, or 50 more yards and then slid.
The bettors were not happy, Joe.
No, they weren't.
Because he was, like, the best odds for an anytime.
Most bet on.
Yeah, classic. All right, 215-592-9494. So let's address the A.J. Brown thing. Are we good with it because it was a self-help book, John, and because he said he does it frequently, or is it out of line?
Man, this is tough. I don't want to make a big deal out of this.
Is it more like you don't want to make too big a deal out of it or a big deal out of it?
On the one hand...
Let me ask you a question.
On the one hand, I'm just shocked because I've never seen anything like that. So I think it is out of line.
Mm-hmm.
But then at the same time, I've seen guys with, you know, some notebooks. I've seen guys with playbooks.
Yeah, tablets and all sorts of stuff.
Tablets a lot of times. Yeah. But, you know, self-help books, not before. It feels like it's something that's not of the team. So it shouldn't really be there on the sideline. I would have a problem with it. As a coach or a teammate or something like that, because it makes it feel like, we've got a game going on, man. Like reading a book, whether it's self-help or not, during the game is not in the cards. You should not be focused on that. If you're not in the game, watch what's going on so you can help out whoever's in there and give them some, hey, I saw some coverage tip, you know, like I saw some stuff that I, you know, here's what you need to know. You can help, and you're not going to be identifying coverage if you're reading a book, you know, like I'm sure of that. So on that, I do have questions about how to deal with that. He's not distracting other guys, so to speak. We are making a distraction of it by pointing it out and then making a big deal out of it. So there's the conundrum.
So it is, for me, it's a conundrum as well. Here's where I'll go with it. Do I think he's out of line? I'll say yes. Do I think he's massively out of line? I'll say no. Obviously, the fact that it's a self-help book is a critical part of this. Do I buy that he reads it every drive, like after every possession, as he indicated? No, I don't believe that, because I think we would have seen that before. So I just don't believe that. I think they would be wise, if he wants to continue this, to put it into tablet form or a piece of paper. I mean, he can't read the whole book anyway in the midst of a game. Impossible. Can't even read a whole chapter. Impossible.
Get a Kindle. I've been telling you this for years, Jack.
Right, exactly. If I were him and I were them, meaning the Eagles, I would put the most important passages that help him, you know, find his inner peace on either a piece of paper or a tablet. And those, you know, that paper might be two or three pages, but no more. I mean, there's only so much you can read, you know, when the defense is on the field.
There's just not.
So
when you take the field prior to a game, there had to be machinations in his, like, how do you get the book out there to the sideline?
He apparently has brought it out,
Yeah, there were pictures of him with it
Baltimore.
Pregame, like, to go out and stuff.
But
so.
He is smart enough to know that as the star receiver, who's had one target, and he's reading on the bench.
Rhea, do you think he... So Curt Schilling famously was making a statement about Mitch Williams.
Which didn't go over well.
Which did not go over well in the 93 World Series. If you're too young to know, when Mitch was struggling, but prior to giving up the home run in Game 6 of the World Series, there were in various postseason appearances by Mitch, Schilling would put a towel over his head. Mm-hmm. Didn't want to watch. And it was Curt's way of saying...
I can't watch this.
Rhea, do you think A.J. Brown was trying to make a statement by reading the book?
I do. I
tend to think that's likely correct.
It's a playoff game. There's not many teams playing. There's a lot more cameras, and it just,
and you got one catch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, look, I give him credit that it's a self-help book.
Listen,
it would be a whole different story if it wasn't.
Of course, he's
reading,
you know, Catcher in the Rye.
Right.
I don't know.
James, is he making a statement?
Maybe. I don't. So
it is a maybe. We don't know.
It's a maybe.
This might help him. This might help bring him in
peace. I don't have an issue with it in a vacuum. Mm-hmm. You know, like, again, like, those guys go out and put their bodies on the line. Like, if you need something that refocuses you, as he said, or gets your kind of head in the right space, like, I have zero problem with it. The question is, if it was a statement, then it goes to another level.
Yep.
So I don't know. But in and of itself, I don't have a huge problem with it. It's just the situation.
We've never seen anybody read a book on the sidelines. I mean, let's be honest.
It was
odd. But the last time AJ made a statement, they came out and threw the ball well. So I'm hoping this has the same